What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to episode 77 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can always follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Presented, as always, by TalkLoudRadio.com and coming at you live every Friday on Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, and Twitch. And, of course, streaming in the Going for Two app for iOS and Android. I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Mr. Ryan Searfoss. Ryan, how you doing tonight, man?
Fantastic, man. It's been an awesome week.
Yeah,
it's been actually had news. I don't think my phone's gone down. Twitter's been shut off once in the past, I don't know, 100 hours.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, like, just today alone, I mean, I did the show notes yesterday evening, and I've had to update them about four times today because of news breaking. All right. Joining us on the podcast, Mr. Adam. I'm sorry, I forgot your last name.
Stark.
There we go. Adam Stark, my fault. You can find him on Twitter at EverydayFFB. Adam, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great. Just ready to talk this insane free agency.
All right. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right, guys. So let's go ahead and just jump right into it because we got a jam-packed show here. We're not going to shoot the shit here. We're just going to jump right into it. Before we get into the free agency and all the other craziness that was going on, we had a couple of breaking news events today. The first of which was Kareem Hunt, of course, getting an 8-game suspension. First, we'll go to you, Ryan. What do you think of this 8-game suspension? Is this what you expected? Do you think it's a little bit too much, not enough? What's your thoughts on it?
I mean, I think it's what we expected. I mean, we knew it was going to be at least 6. It was on video, so it's going to be more than that. So it's cool. I mean, it doesn't really move the needle for me. Dynasty, I'm still buying if I can. Redraft, not so much.
Not so much. What do you think of Nick Chubb's value now, Adam?
Yeah, Nick Chubb, I mean, for the first 8 games, he's going to be fine himself. But once Kareem Hunt gets back, I don't think Hunt will just come steal carries, steal red zone carries after those 8 games. I could see him maybe helping during the playoffs or during the fantasy playoffs, stealing a little bit of carries away. But I see Nick Chubb kind of staying where he was and Kareem Hunt not being so much good this year.
Yeah, I was actually before even the suspension was even announced, I was on Nick Chubb. I've taken him in pretty much every mock that I've done in the first round. I think Nick Chubb will be fine. I think even when Kareem Hunt comes back, I think he'll still be fine. I think that offense is going to be good enough, especially now that they got OBJ. They'll be good enough to support two running backs. I think that Chubb may take a little bit of a hit, but I don't think it's going to be enough to really change my rank on him at all. And staying with the Chiefs, we had another breaking news thing today. Tyreek Hill now is under investigation for some kind of battery. We're kind of unclear as far as what it is, but it seems to involve his son. I've heard rumors of a broken arm. Ryan, what are your thoughts on this? First, just the situation, and then for fantasy related, what are you thinking about this?
Situation, we don't know what happened yet. If it's true, he should be done. I mean, I don't want to even get into that portion of it. Fantasy-wise, he's a hold for me right now. If I own him in Dynasty, I'm not trading him because you're just going to get low-ball offers because I'm going to be sending out low-ball offers myself for him. I'm not going to overpay for him. And if I was going to trade him away, it's probably like I'd take at least 85% what I'd normally take for him. But it's kind of just a hold. We have to wait and see because one way or another, someone's going to get screwed in the deal. And you just want to be on the side that wins that.
Yeah, so, agreed.
And not rushing into anything.
What about you, Adam? If you own him in Dynasty, what are you doing with him? You holding on to him?
Yeah, I think he's definitely a hold. You know, we don't know exactly what's going on. So you can't really sell him for cheap, hoping it's for the worst. And, you know, hold here because you just don't know. But the thing that's going to cause some problems is another little headache for the Chiefs. So this might cause problems during free agency, this time period where like the veterans sign, like the guys left over have to sign. So even though they got Matthew, I still think it might stop the free agency.
Here's a follow up for you guys. Does this put Baker ahead of Mahomes for you in Dynasty's quarterbacks? Because he's been moving up there this week because of the news we're going to talk about later. But
that's a good question.
Does that move the needle?
It's a really good question. I think I'm still going with Mahomes just for the sake that it's Andy Reid. I think that, you know, he's kind of got a proven track record over his career of, you know, making quarterbacks good. And I think that I'll sort of bank on that. You know, he's had multiple quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield potentially could have a sophomore slump, and you know, who knows what he's going to be in 3-4 years from now. But I think I'm going to still lean Mahomes. It's a slight edge because Baker Mayfield looks good with that offense. But I think in Dynasty right now, I think Mahomes is still my QB1. What about you, Adam?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think Mahomes is, you saw what we got, you know, 50 touchdowns plus, and he's not going to repeat that. I mean, he could, but it was an amazing season. So, you know, we have with Mahomes, and Baker still has to prove that he can establish a great chemistry with Jarvis and OBJ. I mean, they're all great talents, but they all have a lot of big egos, you know, and who knows, it could blow up. I've seen the 2010 Philadelphia Eagles were the dream team, and they were loaded, and they squeaked into the playoffs. So you never know. Chemistry is big.
Yep, that's a good call. Yeah, that's the team that they even, I think Michael Vick was the one that called themselves the dream team, and then they went out and they weren't very good at all.
It was Vince Young.
You're right. That's right. All right, so let's now start talking about some of these trades in free agency. We'll start with the big one. It's a little bit old news now, if you can believe it. It's been, a few days now? It feels like it's old news because it was, you know.
1 week, man.
Yeah, I know. So much going on in 1 week. It seems like old news now. The Antonio Brown trade, obviously going to the Raiders. Ryan, I'm going to go to you first. What does that mean for all the players involved? Not just Antonio Brown, but for Juju, for Derek Carr, you know, Big Ben, even James Washington, who should now step into a bigger role in that offense. What are your thoughts on all those guys?
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, knew it was going to happen, and I'm pretty sure AB showed that everything he was doing was an act. Like, the gold mustache went away that day. He acted normal in the press conference. Like, he basically played Pittsburgh on that. But I think fantasy-wise for him, he's still going to be top 12 wide receiver. Probably top five. He's unbelievable. Derek Carr's not as bad as people make him out to be. He has some holes in his games, but you know what? So did Ben, and they're probably going to open it up with that receiving core they have now. So, like I said, he might be 80, 90% of what we're used to, but it's still better than most receivers out there. I think it hurts Juju a lot more than expected. We saw what he did against Cincinnati when AB wasn't there. I mean, it was like kind of shock last minute thing for game planning. So it'll be better than that, but he's not really a separation guy. So if he's getting double covered, that hurts.
Could be a problem.
One guy I do like him is James Washington. Everyone's kind of swinging towards Moncrief now, but Washington has that big play threat and he's young. He was explosive in college. I think he's a guy who could step up for them.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on the Juju thing. I listened to a podcast the other day, and they did a sort of double team coverage analysis of the two players, and Juju got double teamed on something crazy, like 0.03% of his routes. He was double teamed, where Antonio Brown was something crazy, like I don't even remember what the number was, but it was like a ridiculous number that, you know, Brown's getting all the double teams and Juju's sort of benefiting from all that. I think he'll still be a good receiver, don't get me wrong, but I think that he will struggle a little bit, at least initially, to take that number one role. Adam, what about you? What do you think of the situation with Antonio Brown and everybody involved?
Yeah, so actually, I think Juju is going to take big steps ahead. I think he's just going to have a big year. I think this is his time to shine. He knows it. He tweeted out the I'm ready picture. I think he's got a lot of confidence going in this year, coming off of 1,400 yards. It's something not many receivers have ever done in their second year. So I think he's just finally getting his chance to prove it. We've seen kind of what he has to show, but even though he was getting the I'd say the worst cornerbacks on him, and AB was attracting all the attention, I still think that you're going to have to account for Washington and Moncrief. They're still going to be step up a little bit. I definitely think that will open up the door for Juju to just have a career year.
Yeah, I think this has been sort of a hot topic, you know, throughout all of Twitter and everywhere else in the fantasy world. Is it going to hurt Juju? Is it going to help Juju? He's sort of the one that's everyone sort of disagrees on. I think everyone agrees that Antonio Brown will still be Antonio Brown to some extent in Oakland or Las Vegas or wherever they're going to be next year. But I think Juju is the one that sort of everyone's kind of on the fence about, and I'd like to see exactly what happens there. The one guy that, you know, Ryan mentioned that I do like as well is James Washington. I got a special place in my heart for Mr. James Washington because I've mentioned it here multiple times, but during the preseason, I played DFS preseason, and I won about $1,000 on the combination of Dobbs, the quarterback, and James Washington catching touchdowns in the fourth quarter. So I got a special place in my heart for that guy. So I'm hoping that he kind of, you know, breaks out and has that, you know, that big role in the offense that we've seen receivers do in Pittsburgh before. They just kind of just plug and play and just keep moving. But I love me James Washington.
Did you guys see the Pittsburgh radio host get blow up for saying Moncrief is going to have a better season than AB?
No, I did not see that.
Dude, it was everywhere. I was dying.
That's crazy. That's
too much.
Yeah, man. That's like some Stephen A. Smith stuff right there. You just say stuff just for the shock value.
Yeah, it really would.
All right, I got a question for both of you, and I think y'all might be on opposite sides of the fence. If we're drafting today, redraft, you taking Antonio Brown first, or are you taking Juju first? Ryan, we'll go to you first.
Redraft AB.
AB redraft?
I mean, he's AB, dude. He does it all, and he's not really facing the creme de la creme of corners over in the AFC West either. So
good point. Good point.
I feel good about that. In the matchups with Juju in division alone, it's going to be rough.
That's true. What about you, Adam? Who are you taking, Juju or Brown?
Before free agency, I was just, the needle was just at Brown. But now, after seeing Tyrell Williams go to the Raiders and even JJ Nelson, who's someone who, you know, will get that 90 yard deep bomb touchdown at least once or something like that, it went to the Raiders. I think the Raiders beefed up their wide receiver core while the Steelers only went out and got Moncrief. They lost Jesse James. They also lost Le'Veon Bell, who catches or caught a lot of touchdown passes for him while he played for him. So I think Juju, although he might not have as many receiving yards and targets even than Antonio Brown, I think he's going to outshine Antonio Brown on touchdowns.
Yeah, that's a good call there.
That will get him to be the guy that's takes out Antonio Brown.
That's a good call. I think that's Juju's best way to sort of unseat him is going to be touchdowns. I mean, I know Brown had 15 last year, but I think Derek Carr had a total of 19 passing touchdowns last year. So you got to see some regression in that touchdown range. And if Brown regresses in touchdowns and Juju, you know, sort of progresses in targets and receptions and, you know, gets a little, maybe one, two more touchdowns, I think that Juju could definitely be more than Brown. However, if I'm drafting today, I think I'm still taking the known commodity. I think I'm still going with Antonio Brown. It's close, though. I mean, it's probably like, you know, 19 and 21. I think 19 would be Antonio Brown overall, and 21 would be Juju overall. So it's pretty close. But I think right now, I think I'm still going with Brown. All right, so we got another big receiver that also changed teams, and this one was a little bit more of a surprise. I know we'd heard rumors that he was going to get traded, but, you know, no one really believed them. It wasn't really, you know, and then the team that he went to was not even involved in the rumors, and that's, of course, Odell Beckham going to the Cleveland Browns. So Ryan, if you're an Odell Beckham Jr. Owner, are you happy about this trade, or are you a little upset about it?
If I'm an Odell owner, I'm excited about it. I got real emotional over that trade. I was so happy AB was out of the division, and now in comes OBJ. I just stared at my phone and wanted to cry. But, dude, he's unbelievable. He's basically survived off of taking Eli Manning trash slant routes to the house for the past 4 years now. And no accuracy, which we saw out of Baker all the way through college and pro. He's an accurate quarterback, get the ball to him. They have weapons. They can't. He's going to be a lot harder to double cover than he was in New York. I don't care what they said, those receivers, but that offense is loaded. And OBJ isn't a dude who needs 15 targets a game to be effective. He put up 120 yards off of seven top targets. So I think he just blows up in Cleveland.
So yeah, that's a good call there. I think I'm with you on that respect. I think that, you know, Eli Manning, as good as he was in his early days, is not, he's a shell of himself that he is now. And I think even OBJ was able to sort of overcome that. And that's what it was, overcoming that to still be fantasy relevant. I think Baker Mayfield, you know, is a much better quarterback at this point in their careers. And I think that offense is going to be very good. Play action fake is going to be deadly when you got Nick Chubb back there and eventually Kareem Hunt back there. It's going to be a thing that's going to pull those DBs in or pull those linebackers in, allow OBJ to get behind them. I think it'll be deadly. What about you, Adam? What do you think of OBJ going to Cleveland?
Yeah, I think it was insane. It broke the internet. I think actually that Baker Mayfield will benefit more off of this trade than OBJ. Don't get me wrong, OBJ is going to just benefit immensely. But I think Baker Mayfield, he threw the 27 touchdown passes, which was 11th most in the NFL, without really anyone. He was thrown to Jarvis Landry, who didn't even really catch a whole lot of touchdown passes. And Jarvis Landry was getting all these just not even targets, just throwaway passes that were near him. So I think that once Baker has all these weapons with him, come into a second year, he doesn't have Hugh Jackson to start his career. He's happier. He knows what he has. So I think Baker's definitely feeling a little more confident just because that's his style than OBJ, even though OBJ probably is excited as hell, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think Baker Mayfield, when he heard that trade, probably woke up and felt dangerous.
Exactly.
Dude, he's always feeling dangerous, man.
All right, well, the guy that sort of semi-replaced OBJ there a little bit later in free agency was Golden Tate. I know he's not technically OBJ, but he does go in there, and he's now the best receiver in that offense. They still got Sterling Shepard, of course. Evan Ingram is there. What does it do for these Giants guys now? Are you buying Golden Tate or Evan Ingram or even Shepard in Dynasty, Ryan?
Ingram I'm probably going to buy. Tate and Shepard are kind of guys who, if they're offered to me cheap or as part of another deal, I guess I'll take them, but I'm not actively getting them. They're basically the exact same guy, but 5 years difference. They're both slot receivers. They don't bring too much else to the game. I like Shepard coming out, but that was a slot receiver.
Right.
Like, it's that offense. I don't know what that team's doing, man. Gettleman's just out of his mind. Like, everything they do makes no sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just ugly in New York. I'd hate to be an owner of anybody. Even Saquon Barkley might struggle a little bit from not having OBJ there as well. Adam, what do you think of Golden Tate, Ingram, and Shepard there? Are you buying any of these guys?
Yeah, in Dynasty, I think Ingram's the only buy character. Tate, you know, like Ryan said, part of a package deal. Maybe if you're going for the ring and you need some depth or something, maybe. But other than that, no. I think in redraft, Tate gets a bump just because he's going to be that guy, or supposedly he was paid to be that guy, you know, the OBJ replacer. He's not going to do nearly what OBJ did, but he's still going to get, you know, those targets, those over-the-middle looks. So I definitely think come redraft, Tate might be a guy you want to keep your eye on.
Yeah, I agree. I think Tate could actually go as a value. I think he will slip a little bit because, you know, how bad he was, and that wasn't really his fault, but in that Eagles offense at the end of last year, people are going to look at that and think, okay, maybe Tate's finally done, or maybe he's, you know, not as good as he was, you know, in Detroit, and he might actually slip in some rounds, and I think Tate will actually end up being pretty good there because, you know, Eli Manning will lock on to one target, and he'll just give him, you know, target after target after target after target, and if Golden Tate gets that, he'll be good, especially in PPR, and he's always been one of the leaders in yards after catch, too, so even if it's like a three-yard catch, you know, that Eli likes to throw, I think he can still, you know, get some yards there by just running after the catch. So, yeah, I agree. I think Golden Tate is definitely a buy and redraft.
He led the league in that, right? Run after catch?
This year he may not have, but I think the last 2 years he did. Yeah. Yeah, he definitely, he was up there every year. I think this past Someone year he struggled a little bit. What was that?
Someone weird-headed this year.
I think it was George Kittle. My boy George Kittle actually led the league and ran after catch. It's insane. All right, now we'll finally get into the free agencies. And, of course, the biggest one, of course, is Le'Veon Bell going to New York. We'll go to you this time, Ryan, or Adam, first. What are your thoughts on Le'Veon Bell in New York?
You know, everyone's saying, everyone's dogging him. He lost money, all this, that. You know, the Steelers offered him 5 years, 70 mil. But, you know, he's happy. He's got his 33, 35 guaranteed million, you know. He wasn't getting that anywhere else. So now he's guaranteed this money. So if Le'Veon Bell does go out and tear an ACL, God forbid, it's just, he's going to shock the internet, you know, just because everyone will be like, oh, he cut, you know, just because he's finally getting the guaranteed money, and it's showing why players want the guaranteed money. And so, he'll be something, you know, I think he'll be a top 10 RB, but I don't think he'll help out Sam Darnold a whole lot. You know, he might give him some space and help him create more plays, but I think it was just kind of like a meh thing. Everyone eventually knew it was coming.
Yeah, I agree. I think I did a piece in January, sort of a bold predictions, and most of them have come wrong. But this one I actually got right. I had Le'Veon Bell going to the Jets. But the bold part of that was I had him outside the top 10 in running back. So we'll see if that comes true or not. I just think that he benefited a great deal from that Steelers offense. Obviously, they were a high-scoring offense. They had the ball a lot. You know, they gave the Le'Veon Bell touches on both the ground and in the passing game. He had one of the best offensive lines in the league. He had the best receiver out there taking double coverage away from him, opening holes and lanes. I think Le'Veon Bell will still be good. I think he may finish like 12. But I had him as my bold prediction is finishing outside the top 10. So we'll see if that comes true or not. Ryan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be low in RB1 there. I do disagree. I think he does help out Sam Darnold a lot. I think they did a lot to help Darnold between adding him, adding Crowder. Darnold's going to take a step forward. He has that dump off now. And Bell excels at being at the receiving game. I think that's huge for a young quarterback, having a guy they can trust when all hell breaks loose, which definitely can happen there. But I can see him being 1,000 or 1,200 yards rushing. Touchdowns I can't see being super high, but I think the yards will be there, receptions will be there. I think it kills any backup for that team.
Yeah,
at the running back position, they're going to be non-existent.
Yeah, that was my next question. Does Elijah McGuire have any value at all other than a handcuff?
Yeah, no. And I don't believe in handcuffing, so no value. And back what you said about the contract thing, they tried to play him on the tag, man. That part is what made him hold out, was the franchise tag.
Yep.
And if he gets hurt on the franchise tag, he's done. I fully supported him holding out, mainly because I'm a Ravens fan, but he was right, man. He did what he wanted. And guess what? Even if he's making $1 million, $2 million less in New York, he's going to get paid a lot more in endorsements there than he would in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's a good call. It's definitely a big market, so I agree.
He needs to be a superstar in New York.
Yep.
You're getting paid.
Yeah, especially with OBJ leaving, because that kind of left a big hole as far as superstars in football goes. With OBJ out of there, they got Le'Veon Bell to sort of latch onto now.
That's it now, man. There's nobody else.
Yep. All right, I'm asking you all the same or similar question that we did with AB. You're drafting today in redraft. You going with James Conner, his replacement, or Le'Veon Bell with New York now? Ryan, I'll go to you first. Who are you taking over these two guys?
Le'Veon Bell in either format, redraft or dynasty. I think he's better back. I think he's adding more to the receiving game. I think Pittsburgh's offense is on the downward spiral, so that hurts. They lost their offensive line coach, Munchak. It's a lot different there, and I don't know how committed they actually are to James Conner. Their new running backs coach is Samuels, old running back coach, NC State, so that might make a little bit of difference, take a few touches away.
It's a good call there.
And I don't know if we're getting out of Ben anymore, man. They're talking about signing him another 5 years. Do you want your young running back attached to you for 5 years? I actually made... Oh, no, never mind. I thought I made that trade straight up, one for the other. It was Conner for DJ, my bad. But, yeah, I think I still trust Le'Veon Bell and the talent.
All right. What about you, Adam? You going with James Conner?
I'm definitely taking Le'Veon Bell in redraft or dynasty. I think he just obviously has more talent. And, yeah, I do agree, Ryan. I think that Jalen Samuels could be sneaky and steal carries. You know, the Steelers are just so weird and unpredictable like that. They could draft a guy, you know, something crazy could happen, but I definitely think you know what you're getting in Le'Veon Bell. They're going to make him the superstar there. Him and Sam Darnold are the two guys moving forward, so I'm going Le'Veon Bell.
Yep, I think I'm going to make it a trifecta there. I'm going Bell as well, both dynasty and redraft. I think that James Conner, you know, had a great season, don't get me wrong. But I think that like Brian said, the offense takes a step back. You know, obviously no AB, you know, no Le'Veon Bell. Ben's a year older. I know he had a good season last year, but, you know, they're going to struggle a little bit there. The offensive line, like he said, the coach is no longer there. They might struggle a little bit as well. Samuels could take some, you know, some snaps there. He's more of a passing down running back anyway than James Conner is, so it could be a split there. So, just the unknown of that, I think I'm going to still go with Le'Veon Bell because New York paid a lot of money for Le'Veon Bell. There's no way they don't use him, you know what I mean? So I think that they definitely going to give him the ball quite a bit. All right, we'll stick with the running back theme here, and we'll go to Ryan with his team here, signing the guy that you've been predicting pretty much all offseason for them to get is Mark Ingram. So talk a little bit about Mark Ingram, what's it do for the Gus bus, and you know, what round are we taking Mark Ingram in, you think, for in redraft?
Dude, I was so excited about that because I've had that. We've been talking about that pick for what, since the offseason started?
At least, yep.
He's been my top target for Baltimore to get in the offense. He's everything they want. I mean, they were second league in rushing last year and carried the ball 35 times a game. And that includes the time when Flacco was in there. And that was with literally nobody's a running back. Gus Edwards isn't special. He was a fun little story, but he was just a big dude who ran forward. Dixon's okay. Nothing to worry about. Mark Ingram's been great for the last, 5 years now?
Yep.
He's big, he's strong. He runs with power. He's a little bit elusive for being a big guy, and he can catch the ball, so he doesn't have to come off the field. With the backs that Baltimore had in, it was predictable before because you knew if Gus Edwards is in, they're running the ball off the gut.
Yep.
He doesn't catch the ball. He has zero career catches. Like, it makes it a lot less predictable. I think it puts Mark Ingram into RB2, mid to high RB2 category. I think he's going to get a ton of carries in there. It's going to be a timeshare and running back by committee, but he's still going to get 20 touches a game because they're going to run that much.
Yeah, I think one thing you mentioned there, and it's kind of gone around Twitter, I think that they sort of forgot about Mark Ingram as a pass catcher because they had Kamara there last year and the year before, and it was sort of like, you know, they forgot about him in the passing game. But you go back and look at his years before Ingram, and he had 50 receptions 1 year, 46 another year, 58 the next year. And, you know, he's got, you know, the yardage and even touchdowns to go along with it. So he's, you know, he's no slouch in the passing game. He's no Alvin Kamara, but he's good enough that he can just be on the field for all three downs. And like you said, be more unpredictable as far as what they're going to do. So I love Ingram. I agree. I think he's an RB2 in redraft. And Dynasty might be tough to buy him in Dynasty because I think his value is too high. He is 29 years old. I don't know if I'm going to go out and get him in Dynasty. If I already have him, I'm excited about it. I think I got at least 2-3 more years that I can have him for productivity. But I'm not going to go out and try to buy him. What about you, Adam? What are your thoughts on Ingram being in Baltimore?
Yeah, I think it was the perfect sign. You know, it was the guy that they really wanted. They weren't ever in the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes that came out. You know, they never made an offer. So I think they're just fully in on Ingram and pursuing him. And they just took it carefully and slowly, and they finally won the race, you know. And Ingram is everything that they want. You know, he's a pass catcher. He's going to be a guy that you can trust with the ball late in the game. You know, he's going to be someone to help Lamar Jackson out. I think, yeah, he's going to be an RB2 in redraft. Maybe I could maybe see him being a little bit higher just because he could have a high touchdown upside, but, you know, definitely an RB2 in redraft. And Dynasty, yeah, he's a hold. You know, if you got him, it's awesome, but maybe you could sell him to a sucker real, real high right now, but that's about it.
I bought him 5 minutes before the signing happened.
Nice. That's perfect timing. I traded
110 for Ingram and 210.
Oh yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah,
I still have 2 firsts left. So
nice.
I'm not that worried about it.
Nice, good call. All right, the next one we got on my list is we're going to my team now. Made a pretty confusing, you know, signing for me at least. Getting Tevin Coleman when we already had Breida. We have Jerick McKinnon coming off of injury. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I guess I'll let y'all talk about it first, and then I'll give my thoughts on it. Adam, we'll go to you first this time. What are your thoughts on Tevin Coleman going to San Francisco?
Yeah, it made me kind of like look at my phone twice. You know, when I saw Tevin Coleman to the 49ers, so I was like, 49ers? What? Like, they already have Breida and McKinnon, you know, two guys who have proven themselves. But, I mean, if McKinnon's injured or not 100% healthy, I could see he can, you know, he could be cut, anything that could happen. But I think this is just a three-headed monster that you're going to want to stay away from until you see what pans out, what really happens to one of them. If one of them gets cut, one of them gets injured, you know, whatever. But I'm staying away in redraft and dynasty.
Yep, I agree. I think with that situation, you got a three-headed monster. Even if they cut Jerick McKinnon, I mean, Breida at one point last year when he was still healthy led the league in rushing. I think Breida's a pretty good running back in his own right. I think it'll end up being a timeshare. And we've seen before that Shanahan's not afraid to have a timeshare. He did it when he was in Atlanta. He had, you know, Freeman and Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman in a timeshare. He could run three running backs. Yeah. So, you know, who knows? I mean, all three of these running backs are pretty versatile. They can catch. They can, you know, run out of the backfield. And there's a possibility that Jarrett McKinnon isn't healthy. You know, we got a sort of a history of doing that before where we had a guy on our team that, you know, was hurt and we didn't sort of announce it. He never played a snap for us. Marshawn Lattimore. We drafted him. We kept telling him that, oh, he's close. He's close. We kept hearing the rumors. He's close. He's running in practice. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's doing that. Never once played a snap for us and we cut him. I said Marshawn, didn't I? Yeah, was it
South Carolina?
Yeah, it was. That wasn't Marcus. Yes, thank you, Marcus Lattimore. Sorry, but yeah, we ended up cutting him. He didn't play a snap. So maybe they're doing the same thing with Jerick McKinnon. They're saying that he's healthy, he'll be back. But maybe they got some reservations about the situation there, and maybe he won't be back. Maybe he's not ready to come back yet. So, and I've heard that they can cut him and not have a whole lot of loss as far as financially goes. So that's a possibility as well. Ryan, what are your thoughts on Tevin Coleman in San Francisco?
I mean, Tevin Coleman's a great RB3 there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a good fit. He's used to Shanahan. I'm not a believer in Tevin Coleman. I think he's the third best running back they own. He's not super creative when he's running the ball, but there has to be something. Like, somebody's hurt, or they're just so afraid they're going to be hurt. Because, I mean, Breida was, something was injured.
Every game.
14 out of 16 weeks.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, oh, Breida's questionable. He'll play, but he'll probably play half the snaps of the game. And McKinnon was hurt. So I understand it from that point. Fantasy-wise, I don't want anything to do with any of it.
Nope, agreed.
And it sucks because it's a great offense to own running backs in.
Yep.
But I want no part of it.
Agreed. And it wouldn't be a podcast unless Ryan's dog made an appearance.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I got the door shut and everything. He's just an idiot.
That's all good. Yeah, he came on the last podcast, too. He's one of our favorite guests here. All right, we'll go one more free agent, big one, and then we'll take a commercial break and come back and do a few more things. We talked about it a little bit earlier with the AB trade. I mean, the AB signing, I guess, trade. And then we had the signing of Tyrell Williams going to Oakland. Adam, we'll go to you first since you kind of mentioned him earlier. What are your thoughts on Tyrell Williams in Oakland?
Yeah, I think it was big for him. I think it was the guy they really wanted. I think Williams got his big check. You know, I think the Raiders will eventually realize they overpaid for him and what they get out of him these next 3 years. But this first year could be something all right. You know, I think he could get 8 to 10 touchdowns and kind of produce well with Antonio Brown dragging all the attention away and even J.J. Nelson with a deep threat. And if they sign, you know, a decent running back or even bring Marshawn back, then that's still someone else you got to account for. So I think Tyrell Williams fits pretty well in Oakland, and I think he's, you know, a guy who might get slept on a little bit in the draft, but he could be a good pick.
All right, yeah, good stuff. Ryan, what do you think of Tyrell Williams with the combo of him and AB?
That's a great combination. I think it's better for football than fantasy. I think he's a solid wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 range. Like, he's a guy you can feel comfortable throwing your flex in a pinch. If you have to, I'm not trying to make it happen, but if he's on my team, I'm not going to be upset about it. And he definitely has upside. He's going to be a guy who can have huge weeks and maybe have a few down ones, but he should have a decent floor with AB there and getting single covered. So, like I said, I'm cool with him as a wide receiver 3.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I think you know already that I like Tyrell Williams. That's my boy. I was hoping
third round, man. I know it.
I was hoping he was going to the Indianapolis Colts, and I've been trying to get him from a guy that, you know, owned him in my dynasty league, thinking that he would go to the Colts. He signed with the Raiders, so my friend was kind of upset because he actually owns Antonio Brown and Marcel Aitman already. So he owns 3 receivers from the Raiders. So it was easy to get Tyrell Williams from him. I gave him a 19 third-round pick and a 2020 third-round pick for him. And he ends up being sort of my wide receiver five, actually. I've got a couple guys. Allen Robinson's actually on my bench in my dynasty league, so I'm pretty deep at receiver. But I did like the upside of Tyrell Williams. I went out and got him. And I think that he'll be okay in Oakland. I wish that he'd gone to the Colts, but I think in Oakland he'll still be fine. He gives him that deep threat, but he's more than just a deep threat. He has a good route tree, as we saw in San Diego the year that Keenan Allen was out. You know, he basically stepped in and had a wide receiver two type of year. I think he's capable of that, so I definitely like Tyrell Williams a lot.
I like him in the red zone, too, for them.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Because they lost Jared Cook. They really don't have that big guy in the red zone.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's a good call. All right, let's take a quick commercial break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about a couple other notable free agent moves, a little bit smaller ones, and then we'll talk on some more trades that kind of happened today as well. Tons of news. But let's go ahead and just take this quick commercial break. When we come back, guys, we'll hit those.
Fantasy football. It's not just a social interaction anymore. Today's manager plays to win. And the difference between winning and losing is so small, a manager will do whatever it takes to get an edge. Yet the other sites offer the same content at an extremely high cost. It's time to get away from the old and step into the future of fantasy stats. This is StatRoute. StatRoute allows you to find any data set for any player or team in 7 seconds or less, all on a simple, easy-to-use application. Want to see which running back performed best in the snow last season? How about the past 5 seasons? And in the fourth quarter? Or maybe you're unsure of which quarterback to start for the upcoming week. With our StatsIP technology, you can now quickly see how Matt Stafford has performed in the rain, during the second half of the season in New York, compared with how Russell Wilson has played during primetime games at home versus the Rams' new defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. At StatRoute, it's our mission to deliver state-of-the-art technology guaranteed to keep you ahead of the curve. So, whether you're a casual football fan, a weekly fantasy trash talker, or a DFS hustler, we've got you covered. Welcome to the new standard for stats delivery. We are StatRoute. Take back your lead.
Regulators. We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steal, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up.
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets trying to consume some skirts for the E so I could get some.
All right, guys, welcome back. We want to thank our sponsor, StatRoutes. You can save 50% off a yearly subscription with our promo code G42FF. That's G42FF. Save 50% off. Of course, after this show is done, I will post this to all your major podcast networks, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, etc. So you can listen to us in your car the next day. Or if you missed anything, check us out on those networks as well. And streaming, as always, in the Going for Two app. All right, guys, let's talk about a couple other notable free agent moves. Nothing, you know, not the real major ones that are sort of game-changing, but the first one I got here is Nick Foles going to the Jags. He's more of a sleeper flex type quarterback, but what are your thoughts on Nick Foles to the Jags, Ryan? Does that help any of the receivers that are there?
I actually kind of like it for the receivers. It's like sneaky late round picks. I always kind of like Keelan Cole and Dede Westbrook as talents, but they weren't blessed enough to have a real quarterback with Blake Bortles there. Both dudes are explosive, can make plays. We saw Cole make that absurd catch last season. So I like seeing them with actual quarterbacks, see what they can really do. Foles is definite upgrade. He's, like I said, he's not a superstar. He's not a guy who I'm shooting to draft anywhere other than Superflex. He might be a good streaming guy throughout the season. That's about it for him. But I kind of like it for the receivers, and I like it for Fournette because any passing game has to help him out.
That's true.
Like, he's getting freaking 11 in the box because nobody respected Blake Bortles. Now he's going to get a little bit of protection. So I kind of like that for him.
It's a good thing. Yeah. What about you, Adam? What are your thoughts on Nick Foles in Jacksonville?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think it helps Leonard Fournette. I think people will have to account for Nick Foles actually passing the ball, and he's going to get a lot of respect from defenses. Granted that he's won a Super Bowl, and, you know, he just got a 4-year, $88 million deal. He might not have all the stats to back it up, but he definitely does have the confidence from teammates, coaches, and everyone else to play well. So I think he will definitely be a guy who can rally Jaguars to make a touchdown drive rather than what Blake Bortles has done. So I think that's a boost he could give to the Jaguars. But I don't think the wide receivers will take a huge jump. I think Westbrook and Keelan Cole obviously get boosts. But until I see what Nick Foles can establish with them, then I'm not exactly buying into it completely.
Yeah, I think I'm with Ryan too on that on the receivers. I kind of like D.D. Westbrook a lot. He's sort of that deep threat there, and Nick Foles loves to throw the deep ball. You know, we've seen it in his first stint when he was in Philly, when he had DeSean Jackson running deep, and the other guy, I can't think of his name right now, big tall white guy that was just running down the field. He had like one big season, but then of course he had last year. He had, you know, a couple big games where he was throwing the ball down the field as well. I think he opens that offense up, and I think that Nick Foles definitely upgrades the offense. I don't know if I'm drafting him in redraft unless it is super flex, and even then it's going to be a late round pick. I think what he brings as far as from an NFL standpoint as well is leadership, and I think that team needs leadership. They were quite dysfunctional this past year, especially because the offense couldn't score points and defense was playing what they do. It just got very dysfunctional. I think Nick Foles has shown that he's a good leader, and I think that he steps into that offense and you know, sort of takes over there. And you know, one guy we hadn't really talked about, and they just talked about it on Facebook here, I just saw, is Marcus Lee coming back from ACL injury. You know, he had a great season.
All about him.
Yeah, he had a great season the year before with Blake Bortles as his quarterback. Can you imagine him with Nick Foles? If he comes back and he's fully healthy, that should be a good late round pick because people have forgotten about him. So I think that he can be a nice addition to some teams as well.
Yeah, I think Dynasty, any of them who's a free agent, I'll pick up. I'm not going to trade for any of them. Agreed. Like, pick him up as a free agent, as a flyer. Other than that, I'm not rooting for him. But how great would it be, first game of the season, Foles blows it up, Wentz faces a good defense, does terrible, and see the Philly fans just lose it.
Yeah, that's a good call. And I'm trying to look it up the name now. I couldn't find the name, but the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, he's now with Miami, right? The year that Nick Foles went to the Super Bowl?
Peterson? No.
No, the offensive coordinator.
For the Eagles.
For the Eagles. He's now with the Dolphins now. I'm almost positive.
The Colts, Frank Reich?
Or was it the quarterback's coach? There's someone from the Eagles that is now with the Jaguars. I'm sorry, the Jaguars, not the Dolphins. The Jaguars. I can't think who it was now. I'll have to look it up. I'll look it up when we're talking about the next guy here.
Yeah, I think it was the quarterback's coach. I do remember seeing something like that, he was also another reason why they were going to
bring DeFilippo.
DeFilippo, yes, thank you. That's
who I was thinking of. He's the OC there now, so yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's another thing in Nick Foles' favor there, too, is he's got his former, you know, quarterback's coach there. So, all right, we'll stick with the quarterbacks here, and we'll go to Teddy Bridgewater. And he sort of spurned the Miami Dolphins and said, you know what, instead of playing for you, I'd rather just go be a backup in New Orleans. We'll talk about this from a dynasty perspective. Are you buying Bridgewater here? Are you looking for Bridgewater on a cheap, you know, because he is a backup right now? You know, he's going to be, you know, Drew Brees' his replacement coming up here soon, we think. Any interest at all in Teddy Bridgewater, Ryan?
Superflex, baby. Superflex, maybe in regular. No, I mean, I'm not. Quarterbacks aren't important in fantasy, anyways.
Yep, unless
it's Superflex. So I'm not holding on to a backup quarterback. But he gets that starting job, man. He could be elite because that offense is just made for them to anyone succeed. I mean, Breeze runs like a well-oiled machine, but he comes in there, does 75% of what Breeze can do. You can play that in fantasy week in, week out. Plus, everybody on that team loves him. Like, I saw Michael Thomas celebrating on Twitter about it. Like, he's beloved there. He could be their long-term option, but we don't know how long Breeze is actually going to be playing, so why hold him?
Yeah, that's a good call. What about you, Adam? What are you doing with Bridgewater?
Agree. Like, why buy Teddy Bridgewater? Breeze is, you don't know how long he's going to play there. We were seeing Tom Brady beat Father Time year after year, and I'm not saying Drew Breeze is going to do that, but, you know, he's looking fine right now, and Teddy Bridgewater, he's a backup, you know, that's what he is. So as long as Drew Breeze is healthy, I think Teddy Bridgewater is nothing much, you know.
Yeah, I think he's sitting right now in my free agent pool in my dynasty, and no one's touching him. I think that he's just going to sit there. And then if he eventually does get that job in Superflex, he could be valuable, but I don't see anybody going out to really get him. We got a couple running backs on my list next. We'll stick with the Saints signing Latavius Murray and then Carlos Hyde going to Kansas City. Ryan, these two moves, what do you think of them? Are they worth anything?
I think Latavius Murray is going to have value in New Orleans offense. They've like to use two backs. He's a hammer in the red zone, and New Orleans scores a lot of points. He could be a solid wide receiver, running back three. He's a guy you put in, he'll get touchdowns. I could see him having maybe 500 yards and 12 touchdowns. I can see that, like LeGarrette Blount life for him.
Nice.
Because, I mean, it fits. They lost Ingram. They don't want to overrun Kamara. He ain't built for 20 carry. He's not a 20 carry back.
Yep. Agreed. What about you, Adam? What do you think of these two moves? Carlos Hyde, Latavius Murray.
Minnesota, you know, he vultured those TDs away from Cook so many times. So I definitely think he's going to steal a lot more TDs than Kamara truthers will truly expect. So I think people will buy into Kamara thinking, oh, Latavius Murray is a huge downgrade. But, you know, I think he's a little, you know, he's a little bit of a downgrade to Mark Ingram, but I still think he's a very good backup running back for him.
He's a boring player, but it doesn't mean he's not decent.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing exciting about watching Latavius Murray run, but he gets a job done.
Yeah, and that bold prediction article, we're going to go to, y'all talk about Murray enough. I'm going to talk about the other guy we had here, Carlos Hyde. And I had in my bold predictions, and I mentioned it on the last podcast as well, I thought Hyde might go to Buffalo and sort of be that LeSean McCoy replacement. Unfortunately,
dude, he's too young.
Yeah. I was going to bring that up. I saw a stat. So the three oldest running backs in the NFL right now are Frank Gore, J.D. McCoy, and Chris Ivory, and they all play for Buffalo. So that's not a good thing. But yeah, I thought Hyde would go to Buffalo and actually have a role. I think in Kansas City, he's going to be sort of that sort of fill-in running back. He's not going to, he may be the red zone guy, possibly. He's always had a nose for the end zone, but I don't think that he's got enough value for me to really go out and try to buy him. I was trying to buy him originally, thinking he might go to a decent team, but Kansas City's going to basically run Damian Williams, and you know that'll be it. I think Hyde will be sort of that second fiddle there, and I have no interest in Hyde whatsoever.
Is Damian Williams that good in real life, though? Like, is he really that much better than Hyde?
Oh, yeah.
Or is he just a product of that system? Because I don't know, man.
Yeah, I see. And
I wouldn't mind picking up Hyde late to see how that running back competition works out.
Go ahead, Adam.
I think Hyde, you know, he had a great season. He started out killer in Cleveland, and then he kind of died down because he was this kind of number two back to Leonard Fournette, kind of forced into this new role, new team, you know. But he started off killing it for Cleveland, so I don't know why he wouldn't be able to, you know, steal some carries, steal some touchdowns, show that he's the better player, even though he might be a little bit older than Damian Williams.
Yeah, I think, you know, Ryan brought up a good point. Is Damian Williams really that good? And then that kind of leads into Kareem Hunt there. Is Kareem Hunt really that good? I mean, I saw some good things from him. I think he's a much better running back. But, I mean, the product of that system is definitely, you know, Damian Williams steps in, does some good things. I don't know. Is Kareem Hunt going to be that guy there in Cleveland that can really take some carries from Chubb? I don't know.
I don't think he's as good as Chubb. Like, I don't think he's nearly as good as Chubb, but he's still a good back.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. All right, so let's go to a couple of receivers here, a couple of quick hitters. We'll go with John Brown and Cole Beasley going to Buffalo, Funchess going to the Colts, and Crowder to the Jets. Well, of those three guys, Ryan, are those four guys, which move do you like here the most?
I like John Brown paired with Josh Allen. I mean, John Brown worked well with Flacco in Baltimore when he was just slinging it deep. And guess what? Josh Allen has a stronger arm than Flacco, who has a good arm. I could see him just launching into him. John Brown was excited. He said, this is the first quarterback I've ever played with. He can overthrow me. Like, John Brown has speed, and I think that'd be great for Josh Allen. I like Funchess in Indy, actually, too. He's not... It's fun to make fun of Funchess, but he isn't really that bad.
Yeah.
He's kind of like we talked about Latavius Murray. He's such a boring football player. He's just big. He catches the ball. He doesn't do much after it. But guess what? He's number two receiver in a explosive offense.
Yep.
He's going to get red zone touches. It makes me worry about Ebron a little bit. I might be jumping off the Ebron bandwagon this year.
Uh-oh. You were like, I beating the drum last year.
I might be jumping off it. Still debating. And I don't mind Crowder in New York, but there's a lot of mouths to feed there.
Yeah, I didn't really get the Crowder sighting because I think Anunoa plays a slot. And they signed him to some, you know, not a big deal, but they re-signed him. Then they bring in...
big, isn't he?
What was that?
Isn't Anunoa pretty tall?
He is big, but he's not that fast. He's more of a... He's like almost like a tight end playing receiver. And I think that the slot sort of fit him. When they moved him outside, when they had Jermaine Kearse, you know, he struggled. You know, because I actually owned him in my Dynasty League. And he started off with a bang because Kearse was hurt early in the season. And Anunoa basically was running the slot and catching, like, I think he had like 38 targets through the first three games, which is crazy. And then he just fell off because they moved him outside. And he just is not fast enough to get really a separation. So I think it kills Anunoa's value. I think Crowder ends up, you know, being really good in the slot because Darnold loved the slot, you know, last year. So I think Crowder could be good if he can stay healthy, which is something he's been struggling with over the past couple of years. What are your thoughts, Adam, on these guys? John Brown, Cole Beasley, we haven't talked about much, Funchess and Crowder.
Yeah, John Brown, I think Josh Allen was the perfect fit for him. You know, he's got a cannon of an arm. I think it'll all come down to Robert Foster. If Robert Foster can produce how he did at the end of the season, then that's really going to help out John Brown and Cole Beasley. You know, it'll allow him to space out the field and have Josh Allen have more options. I think Devin Funchess, I agree with you, Ryan. I think he's a bit of an upgrade coming from the offense he was in. You know, it was kind of a mess and kind of a weird ending of how things ended in Carolina, but he was almost forced into this number one role from the start. And I don't think he ever really clinged on to it or ever established this number one role. I think he kind of established that he's a number two guy. So I think he's going to really be nice, a nice compliment to T.Y. Hilton. And I think he will steal some red zone touchdowns away from Eric Ebron. So I definitely think Funchess could have a nice year this year with the high power offense he's in. And Crowder going to the Jets, yeah, that was kind of weird because they have Anunoa. You know, he didn't play too bad last year. You know, he signed to, I think, a 4-year deal. So it was weird. I don't know if they're going to compete. I don't know if one of them's going to change what they do. But I think it'll definitely be another weapon for Sam Darnold. You know, nothing huge, but a weapon's a weapon for him.
I was listening to Draft Network here. Cal Krabs talk about Baltimore's draft, how with a young quarterback who might have some accuracy issues, a wide receiver who can create separation and get basically wide open is big for them.
Yep.
And Jameson Crowder's a fantastic separator. He's going to create a ton of room, be open, and give Sam Darnold nice targets, like where he's not having to force the ball in. I think that's why they did it.
Yep, agreed. I think that's definitely a good pick there. I think that Crowder upgrades that slot. I think Anunoa is that sort of big guy that, you know, they move him outside. I think it kills his value, but Crowder's a better slot player in general.
I like it for Robbie Anderson, too.
Yeah.
I like Robbie Anderson a lot. I can't buy him anywhere. I've been trying. I'm a big fan.
All right. Let's skip over these last couple guys because they're kind of small time. Let's go into some of these rumors that we got here with Jordan Howard. Of course, they signed the Bears, signed Mike Davis.
Tannehill?
What was that?
Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm skipping over that one, too. Ryan Tannehill, in case you missed it, guys, he was traded to the Titans. I don't think we care about that too much here. We're a fantasy football podcast, and there ain't no fantasy value there.
So Miami at all.
Yeah.
All players, just stay away.
Yep.
If you like a player there, it's tough. Don't do it.
Yeah, I go on Corey Davis, and I'm hoping that Mariota wins that job. So Jordan Howard on the trading block, what do you think of Jordan Howard and where would be the perfect fit for him, Ryan?
Dude, I'm so sad about them just hating Jordan Howard. fit wise, if the Ravens wouldn't have gotten angry at him, that would have been my best spot for him. God, I don't even know. Maybe Oakland.
Maybe.
Yeah, Eagles is good too. I said, I don't think it's the power running that Gruden likes because Gruden, you know, is stuck in 1996. And I think that would be really good there. I like the Eagles because, I mean, he's better than Ajayi is.
Ajayi is a free agent himself.
Huh?
I said, Ajayi is a free agent himself.
Exactly. So I don't hate that. And I don't think Jordan Howard's going to be that expensive. So, and it's not like the Eagles have a lot of room. So I'm cool with that. Houston would be a bad fit.
Yeah. Yep, that's a good call there as well. What about you, Adam? What are your thoughts on Jordan Howard?
Yeah, I think it's kind of weird how, Ryan, you're saying the Bears, are hating on him, and they're so in love with Tariq Cohen. And he signed Mike Davis, which was, not someone who it was a clear indicator that they would trade him away. It was kind of someone who was like, all right. It was weird. So I don't think Jordan Howard gets traded right away, but I think that teams come training camp, if they lose a running back, he might get calls. But for now, I don't see the Bears trading him, but maybe to like the Eagles, Raiders, someone who could use a back like that.
Yeah, I think I'm with y'all there as well. I think Jordan Howard is just, he can't catch. That's the biggest thing.
He had 2,500 yards in his first 2 years.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And he led the league in rushing as a rookie, and they just hate him. They should be so upset because I love Jordan Howard.
Yeah, I think Nagy's offense does not fit Jordan Howard at all. He can't catch. So I think it's sort of an issue with the Nagy offense. And yeah, I think you're right. I think Eagles would be a good choice. Of course, the Raiders, because John Gruden just wants to run the ball. So I think he could be a good fit there as well. But I'm not sure what they want to trade, to get Jordan Howard. They've been trading so much this past couple seasons, so I don't know how much they're going to actually want to trade for Jordan Howard and a one-dimensional running back. So I guess we'll see. All right, let's talk about some of the best available free agents still left out there. There's not a whole lot that still really stands out as far as from a fantasy perspective. Isaiah Crowell just got cut yesterday, I believe. Jay Ajayi's still out there. TJ Yeldon's out there. And CJ Anderson. Of those four running backs, Ryan, which one would you want to own in Dynasty? And where do you think these guys might land?
I still like Crowell. He's young enough. I feel like he's just been in terrible, terrible situations. I had no idea where I'd want him to land. I feel like every team in the league has multiple running backs.
Yep.
Tampa should sign one of them. I wouldn't mind seeing him there, but I feel like that's just another bad situation. He doesn't know how to run the ball. I hate every single landing spot for running back.
Yeah, this
like,
is not
other than Oakland, and I think they're going to draft Josh Jacobs. Like, I think every situation is just bad for a running back because they're just going to be a depth piece. Yep. So honestly, it makes TJ Yeldon the top person for me because he has a specific third down role.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with him too. I've been trying to buy Yeldon in my Dynasty League. Hopefully, the guy I'm talking to that I'm trying to trade with is not listening to this podcast. But I've been trying to buy Yeldon for cheap. I think he'll land, and if he lands somewhere like in Philly, or if he does go to Dallas, if he goes to Oakland, I guess this is a third down back there. I don't know if that would help him too much.
They got Jalen Richard.
Yeah, they got Richard there. You're right. So he probably wouldn't fit there very well. But Yeldon would probably be my top guy there. If I'm trying to buy one now before they have a landing spot, I think he'd be the one I'd be going after right now. What about you, Adam? What do you think of these four guys?
Yeah, they're nothing real special, Ajayi has injury problems. Yeldon has shown flashes. Crowell, has shown that he has the speed burst, can rip off a 90-yard run back-to-back, no problem. But I think I would go with Crowell just because, he hasn't really been in the right offense. And I feel like if he could get put into the right offense, then perhaps, it could spark his career and maybe give him some new confidence, some new life, and help him out.
Yeah, that's a good call. I think that we saw it last year. What was it against the Broncos? What do you have, like a 200 plus yard game that game, because he broke off some really big runs.
It was on like 15 carries or something ridiculous.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I mean, Adam, I feel bad saying this because I know you're a Lions fan, but I feel like Isaiah Crowell is doing to the fantasy world what Amir Abdullah did to the fantasy world.
Yeah.
Like, got everybody excited every year and then just took a dump on him. Like, no. I was one of the Amir Abdullah truthers, so I feel the same way about Crowell. Like, he's just going to let everybody down.
All right, I'm just going to rattle off a couple more names that are still out there, and you tell me who you like. We got Randall Cobb, Chris Conley, who actually might have some value now if he stays with the Chiefs because of the Tyreek Hill situation. Jared Cook's still out there. ASJ's still out there. Eifert, I'm not too excited about. He can't stay healthy. And that's pretty much it. I mean, Buck Allen, your boy from the Ravens, he's still out there. I don't think he's going to really get a good home either.
I hope he resigns, man.
You think he resigns with the Ravens?
I hope he does. I don't know if he will, but yeah. I'd like to see him.
I think of that group, I think we got Jared Cook is the top tight end. Obviously, he's had a great season last year, and probably Randall Cobb will be the other guy that I think might be somewhat fantasy relevant. Ryan, what do you think of these guys? Anybody here you're looking at?
Jared Cook, yeah. Wherever he lands, he's going to be a decent tight end. He's not the athlete that he was, I mean, but he's still probably faster than 90% of tight ends in the league.
Yep.
I mean, he ran like a 4.4 coming out. What is he, 4.5 now, which is faster than most tight ends we saw in the draft. Dude, I like Chris Conley. I'd like to see him sign somewhere where he can get some targets. He's the guy I've been crossing my fingers hoping Baltimore signs, which isn't great for fantasy, but I'd like to see it there because I think he's a super talented receiver. And I don't know the rest of them. Cobb scares me. We've seen flashes, but it was a long time, a lot of injuries ago.
Yep.
And Chris Hogan's all right.
Yeah, Chris Hogan's.
He's in the. I think they're just going to end up resigning him.
I'm sorry, you cut out. What'd you say?
I said, I feel like New England's just going to re-sign Chris Hogan, though.
You think so?
They really don't have that many receivers.
I saw he was visiting somewhere today, and I forget where it was, but I saw that he was visiting a team today.
Lions, maybe.
Yeah, maybe the Lions. All right, Adam, what do you think of these guys? Cobb, Conley, Cook, ASJ, Hogan. Any of these guys stand out for you?
Yeah, Cook obviously is the stud tight end here. I mean, wherever he goes, he'll be fantasy effective just for the tight end category, you know. I think Randall Cobb, if he gets put into the right offense and stays healthy, he could perhaps be productive, you know. I think a team that should sign one of these guys would be the Texans. They have Kuti, but you know, he's shown he's got injury problems, but they released Demaryius Thomas, they just have DeAndre Hopkins, and I think that's it.
Will Fuller.
Yeah,
well, Will, obviously, yeah. Okay, well, there goes that. Yeah, so I think Randall Cobb, you know, Chris Conley, I think definitely the same situation. If he gets put, you know, in that right offense, he could have his time to shine. You know, if he gets just that one certain position role, he'll play. But other than that, I don't think there's a whole lot out there.
Hogan was visiting the Giants, by the way.
The Giants. Okay, I know he was visiting someone today. I couldn't remember who it was. I think with Conley, I actually went to try to see if he was still available in my dynasty league after I heard the Tyreek Hill news, thinking that he might be the Tyreek Hill sort of fill in if they end up re-signing him. But
better off from some money.
What was that? Yeah, definitely. I think that Conley, if he does land in the right offense, he's sort of that guy that's sort of an unknown. You know, the rest of these guys, you know, even Jared Cook, we know what we're getting with Jared Cook. We know what we're getting with Randall Cobb, ASJ, Eifert, Chris Hogan.
What about Demaryius? I mean, if he's not, like, getting arrested. Like, if he clears those charges he had.
Yeah, I mean, he did have a pretty good second half of that last year with the Houston Texans before he got hurt. He's definitely a possibility. He's more talented than those guys. Yeah, the Achilles. Yeah. Is it Achilles injury? Is that what he had, or is it an ACL? Yeah.
And he got in that car accident, too.
Yeah, he was, like, arrested for manslaughter, I think. Wasn't he a charge of manslaughter?
Yeah. Yeah, it was something like that, yeah.
Yeah, his situation.
Crabtree's still out there, but he can't catch.
Yes, Crabtree, good old Crabtree.
Running back out there, that I kind of might think that would be productive. Spencer Ware, you know, he showed flashes before he, like, broke his shoulder or whatever. And then even then, when he came back, he still showed that he could kind of be productive. So I think he's a guy who's kind of being slept on, you know, maybe could be a number two or fill in for someone who gets injured during training camp or halfway through the season.
Yeah, that's a good call there as well. Yeah, I think it's tough right now. Like Ryan said, like running backs, it seems like every team, I mean, it goes pretty deep with running backs right now. Every team seems to have their guy. There just seems to be like that stud guy in every single, you know, offense right now. There's not a lot of teams looking for running backs.
I mean, maybe Miami, but I don't know. Like, yeah. I'm just going through the free agency list. Every single team has running backs.
Yep.
And like one or two of them.
Yep, there's a couple that don't, but yeah, most of them seem to already have their guy, so it's tough right now for running backs, which kind of sucks too, because you know, coming into this draft, I know it's not a real top-heavy draft as far as talent goes, but there are a ton of semi-good running backs in this. I mean, you're getting running backs that are pretty decent in the second round of rookies. They're just going to have nowhere to go. Like, landing spots such a big thing for rookies, and they're all going to land as a second or even sometimes third running back on their team and just be buried in the depth chart.
A lot of them are going to be, like, role players. It's kind of awesome for the running back portion for fantasy. It means people are going to draft, take wide receivers, let the running backs get drafted. When they do absolutely terrible because they're stuck behind whoever, people are going to sell them cheap.
Yep.
And then when they get the opportunity, because the running backs always end up getting hurt, you got to steal.
Yep. I actually got two first-round picks, late first-round picks in my Dynasty draft, and I'm hoping to get two running backs. And I have a two-man taxi squad that's actually empty right now, so I'll stash them both on my taxi squad and hope that, you know, in 2-3 years they're actually ready to roll.
I'm not going to draft running back in the first round, I don't think, this year. Any Dynasty draft.
At the second half of the draft, I don't know. Who else are you taking down there, like at 11 and 12?
Tight ends.
Yeah, see, I don't need tight ends.
Receivers.
My tight ends are Zach Ertz, OJ Howard, Mike Gesicki, and Mark Andrews. I think I'm good on tight ends right now.
Well, I mean, you're like my Ravens, just collecting.
Just collecting them. Tight ends.
But I'm saying, you can pass on running backs, and there's so many receivers this year.
Yeah, you're right. There is.
It's the deepest position, and you can always, and receivers always find spots to play in.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right there, and I think that I'll definitely be considering the receivers there, but I need running backs like crazy in my league. I think I got three good running backs, which are basically Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, and CMC. And then after that, my next best guy, I think, is Elijah McGuire right now. So I need some depth at running back for sure. All right. Any more thoughts, guys, before we head out?
That's kind of it. We hit a little bit of everything.
All right. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Adam, tell us again where we can follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, Everyday FFB is my Twitter handle. So go check out my page. You know, I tweet tons of football stuff, college basketball now and then, but mainly fantasy football and all things related to the NFL.
All right, good stuff. As always, I'm Jeff. For Ryan, for Adam, that's a wrap.
All right, peace.